Hey, welcome to the Meta Church Podcast. We're thankful that you're taking part of your day to spend it with us. And we pray this message encourages you, inspires you, and leads you to experience the transformative power of Jesus in your life.
Good morning, Meta Church. It is so good to be with you this morning. This morning, I want us to jump right in. And I want us to jump right in a very peculiar way. To start us off this morning, I want to share the passage that I won't be preaching on this morning. Yes, you heard that right. The passage that I won't be preaching on this morning is this, Psalm 37:4, that says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." We know this verse, right? We love this verse. If you've been a part of the church for 3 weeks or longer, you probably know this verse because we love this verse. Did you know you can get this verse, Psalms 37:4, embossed on 711 different items on Etsy? You can get "Delight Yourself in the Lord" on car mats and coffee mugs and keychains. You can get "Delight Yourself in the Lord" painted onto a seashell if you so desire and are into that sort of thing. We love this verse. So why is it that I'm not going to be preaching on it, you ask? It's not because I don't love this verse, and it's also not because I don't believe that this verse is true. It's just that sometimes this verse is hard to believe. It's kind of like when you were young and you would get in trouble from your parents, right? You would get in trouble for doing something, right? They'd take away the keys to your car. They'd take away your Nintendo. They'd tell you you couldn't hang out with that boy. At least that was usually what I got in trouble for. They'd take away that thing and they would say those famous words. Do you remember? They would say, "You're going to thank me for this someday." And you thought, in my present circumstances, that's hard to believe, right? That may be true, but that notion, that sentiment feels far from me today. And the same can be true of that verse, right? It can be hard to believe. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That may be true, but there are some circumstances in our lives that make that notion, that sentiment, feel far away. Today, instead of talking about delighting yourself in the Lord and you getting the desires of your heart, I want to talk about delighting in the Lord, but then life being cruel. I want to preach this morning about when you've done everything God tells you to do, and instead of receiving everything you ever wished or hoped for, you became the recipient of unrelenting and overwhelming disappointment. Today, the title of my message is "When Life is Cruel and Following Jesus Leads to Disappointment." Are you disappointed today? Me too. Does your life look the way you always dreamed it would look? Does your career and your family and your health and your finances, are the status of your dreams where you always wished they would be? Me neither. But today, I want to share with you what I've been learning in my own disappointment. You see, if you are disappointed today, you are not alone. And also, you are in the right place, because I'm going to share my own disappointment, believing that God wants to speak lovingly into yours this morning. I think it's safe to say that 2020 was an epic disappointment for all of us, was it not? I think even when it comes to my family, and maybe this is true of you, that coronavirus didn't even make my top 10 when it came to troubles, not even close. You see, at the start of 2020, literally the first day of 2020, we lost my father-in-law unexpectedly, long before the onslaught of death that would ravage our world due to COVID. I remember watching my husband kneeling at his father's casket. I remember him holding his cold hands in the warmth of his. And I remember naively believing that the hardest thing we would go through in that calendar year would be how best to support my grieving husband, never knowing the chaos that would unfold in the coming weeks and months. A week after we lost my father-in-law, and the day after my 33rd birthday, I would be in the hospital with a rare and excruciatingly painful case of shingles on my face. I remember the doctor describing what would unfold over the next few weeks, I remember him telling me what this all was caused by. I remember him saying it was due to stress. Isn't it interesting that you can be doing what God wants you to do and get stressed, right? I remember him telling me what the coming weeks and months and even what the next year might look like. I remember him saying that it would be really terrible, agonizing pain. I remember him sharing with me that a couple weeks ago, an old man had come in with the same bout of shingles himself and that he was crying out in agony. That's encouraging. I remember him saying that it would be 5 to 8 weeks that I would spend in bed, that there would be boils that encompass my entire face, that those boils would one day open up and bleed. I remember him sharing, worst of all, that I was at risk of losing the hearing in my left ear and the eyesight in my left eye. And he was right, because I would go on to nearly lose my eyesight twice in the coming next 2 months. I remember him leaving me in the hospital room that day. I remember scooting around on the crinkly paper and just feeling the weight of that diagnosis and not knowing how to pray. I remember thinking to myself, I'm doing everything God wants me to do, and yet, how did I get here? Within weeks of my recovery, though I wasn't feeling 100%, COVID would slam our home in New York City. To be certain, the refrigerated trucks on street corners and the haunting sirens were traumatizing, but even more gutting was watching the church that my husband and I had built over the last 4 years, the people that we loved, watching it all crumble as people moved away. And it became clear that we would have to start all over from scratch. Somewhere in the middle of all of that was the greatest disappointment. Somewhere in the middle of all of that chaos was a miscarriage that would break something in me that I have never in my life experienced. This was no normal miscarriage. This was no normal pregnancy. This was a miraculous pregnancy that we lost. A miraculous pregnancy after years and years of loss and infertility. We had just learned the year prior from a fertility doctor that my husband and I likely could never have a child on our own ever again. There was actually a test result that came back that there was a 0% chance that we could have another child on our own. And here I was, pregnant naturally and miraculously. I took 18 pregnancy tests because I didn't believe that it was true. God, you did it. I remember thanking him every single morning, the first thing I did when I woke up. I remember thanking him, my hands resting on my belly every single night before I went to bed. And then one day, while I was walking down the stairs with a bowl of popcorn, I tripped and I fell. And the bleeding began the following day. I remember walking into the hospital. I remember the nurse commenting on the color of my toenail polish, likely just trying to get my mind off everything that was going on, probably feeling bad for me. And I remember responding to her so innocently. I remember saying, oh, thank you. My daughter bought me that today for Mother's Day today. And I remember that cruel truth hitting me like a Mack truck, that I was losing the pregnancy that I had begged God for, that I was losing the miracle that I thought God gave me on Mother's Day nonetheless. Really, God? Really? You see, in 6 months, our family, our health, our careers, and our dreams all took debilitating blows. And understand this, I was smack dab in God's will for my life. I remember my mom calling me up and sweetly inquiring how I was feeling, like she's done ever since I was 5. My mom always calls me up, and the first thing my mom always says, like clockwork, is this: how's my daughter doing? How's my daughter doing? And I will never forget my response to her. My response was so honest that had I not said it out loud, I would not believe that I actually said this. I said, how am I feeling? I'm feeling disappointed. I'm doing everything God asked me to do. I am becoming everything God has ever desired me to be. And I'm disappointed by the results. I'm deeply disappointed by the state of my life. Sometimes we feel this way. Am I right? Sometimes we can be smack dab in God's will for our life and look around and everything feels like it's going wrong. We can be doing everything he's told us to do and be stepping out to become everything he's called us to be, and in the moment be so deeply disappointed by the results. I feel like the Apostle Paul understood this struggle when he penned these words in Galatians 6. He says this, "For I bear on my body the scars that show that I belong to Jesus. For I bear on my body the scars." This is some intense verbiage. And I'll be honest, I don't have the theological degree to break this apart for you. That's above my pay grade. I don't even fully know if he means emotional scars or physical scars or what it's cost him. I know for certain that it wouldn't be the most appropriate verse to paint onto a seashell. But here's what I believe he's saying in this verse. Here's what resonates so deeply with me is that sometimes following Jesus hurts. Sometimes following Jesus hurts. I believe as followers of Jesus, we are so often blessed abundantly, and I'm so grateful, but there have been times in my life when following Jesus that it has cost me greatly. I'm so grateful that as followers of Jesus, we can ask God for clarity and wisdom when we don't have it, but there have been times in my life where God has allowed something into my life that has made me reel with confusion. I believe in a God who can give more than you could ever ask or imagine, but this last year I found myself not living in the more than I could ever ask or imagine, but feeling momentarily empty-handed. If you feel empty-handed today, if you feel reeling in confusion today, if you feel disappointed, then I have some comfort for you, and it is the comfort that God has given me. I want to share two things that I've been learning coming out of this last incredible year and a half of disappointment. The greatest of those disappointments being my battle with infertility. The first thing that I want you to know that I've been learning myself is that it's okay to feel disappointed. It's even okay to feel despair. It's okay to feel disappointed. It's even okay to feel despair, especially when you really, really want something from God and he is not for the life of you giving in. When my husband Ricky and I were first married and we were busy, you know, picking up sheets and spoons and naively believing that having babies would be as simple as picking a paint color, we did what so many other young couples do and we dreamt about our future together. How many kids we'd have, how far apart they might be, what we might name them. And 13 years ago, probably, we selected two names for our future children. The first one was Gia, and Gia's my daughter, who, if you don't know, is 10, and she celebrated her birthday at Dave & Buster's 2 weeks ago. And the second name was a curious name that I had never heard before, and it had even more of a curious meaning. For whatever reason, when I lost my last pregnancy, I looked this name up, and to my astonishment, the name of the child that I have spent nearly a decade trying for means this: to be desired. The name of the child that I have been trying for a decade means to be desired. Not only that, it means longed for and sorrow. I couldn't think of a more accurate name for this future child that I've been fighting for. But not only that, as I started to look at the meaning of the name, I felt God show me why I was so sad. Each one of those words separated by a comma was a different leg in my journey of disappointment, and he was showing me why I'm so sad. He showed me that it started with a desire. started with a desire, a wish, and a prayer for another child. Perhaps your disappointment today started there as well. You desired to be married by now. You desired to be more successful than this. You desired to live a life of significance. Maybe you had a desire for yourself or your child. Then that desire becomes a longing, becomes something that becomes intensified, right? That desire intensified. It becomes physical, it becomes palpable. People that long for things, they talk while they clench their chest. They talk with tears in their eyes because that desire, that wish has now become physical. And then that last leg of the journey, sorrow. It's sad. It's hard. You see, when that desire is denied and that prayer keeps feeling ignored, you feel sorrow because, quite frankly, it hurts. Scripture says as much when it says, Proverbs 13 tells us, unrelenting disappointment leaves you heartsick. I love how the Passion Translation says the same verse when it says, when hope's dream seems to drag on and on, the delay can be depressing. You see, when an expectation isn't met, we feel disappointed. But when our desire continues to be denied, it can drive us to despair. And that's where I found myself over this last year. My heart has felt mangled and raw. I've described it often that this last year has been marked with sorrowing. It's sorrow, but it's a verb. It's active in my life. It is with me always. I'm sorrowing. A few months back, a woman stopped me after church. You know who you are. And she said, I'm so worried about you. Because I had, after church, started sharing some things that I was feeling like God was saying to me. And I just got overwhelmed to the point of tears. And she was like, I'm so worried about you. And I just remember responding, this is so hard. This is excruciatingly hard. This hurts so bad. I hate this story that God is writing for me today. Maybe you've reached this place as well in your own life. You're still single. It's not where you expected to be. And the universe decided to bless you with an abundance of weddings to go to this last summer. Praise. Right? All those people that had to cancel their weddings in 2020 bombarded you with weddings in the summer of 2021. And between cake and festivities and, oh, let me see that ring comments, you would excuse yourself to take breaks and cry in the bathroom. Why? Because this hurts so bad. Because you hate this story. Maybe your marriage or that business venture that you were so sure God's hand was on is now crumbling. You're now sitting in the wreckage, and God is strangely quiet. Is there not anything harder when God is quiet, when things are hard and God is quiet? There is nothing harder in my life than when I feel like he's hidden and like he's silent. Maybe the health of you or a loved one is hanging in the balance. You've looked for answers, but they never come. The medical bills are now piling up next to the coffee pot. This is hard. It hurts. We hate this story. And I don't know what's gotten you to this place of disappointment and hurt in your life, but I want you to know that it's okay that you're there. You see, it's okay to be disappointed. It's even okay to feel despair because Jesus did. Jesus did. We see Jesus in a moment of deep sorrow and pain of his own. The location is the Garden of Gethsemane. It's hours before he's to be crucified on the cross. It's then that Jesus shares these vulnerable words with his closest friends. He says, "My soul is crushed with grief." You see, Jesus was in deep despair. Luke, another writer of the Gospels and a close companion of Jesus, who also happened to be a physician, tells us a detail of just how deeply distressed Jesus was. He makes this note that as Jesus was crying out, he was sweating blood. Sweating blood. You know, I know from experience that crazy things can happen when you're under stress, like, for instance, getting shingles that threaten to take your eyesight. But sweating blood, I'm not going to lie, is new to me. Now, I'm not even going to try to pronounce this condition, but there is, in fact, a condition in which your capillary blood vessels rupture, exuding sweat or exuding blood out of your sweat glands. And this condition is caused by extreme mental and physical stress. You see, Jesus was crumbling. Jesus was in anguish. And the reasons I appreciate this note of him sweating in blood, however graphic that it may be, is that it shows us the extent of his anguish, which also shows us the extent of his understanding. The extent of his understanding when he sees us feeling the severity of sorrow, that he has compassion on us when we are crumbling. Not only do I find that comforting, I also find it comforting that no one will ever follow closer to God than Jesus. I think we can all agree on that. No one's going to ever get more gold stars for obedience. And yet here we find Jesus in this moment, fully and completely in God's will. God is so proud of his son. And yet his spirit is crushed. Someone needs to hear this like I needed to hear this over this last year of my life. As you're questioning if you are in God's will for your life because everything feels so confusing and like it's falling apart. But God wants you to know you are smack dab in the middle of his will for your life. And as confusing as that may be, he sees every decision you've made for him, and he is so proud of you there. It's okay to feel disappointed. It's even okay to feel despair. Jesus did. You see, Jesus being fully perfect did not exempt him from feeling anguish. Yet how often as Christians is that what we aspire to do, right? We aspire to glide through life's difficulties and complications as if we're impenetrable to those watching. We hide behind the pretty Bible verses and the filtered pictures on Instagram, all while we're crumbling inside. Maybe someone told you that your faith requires that of you, that it requires you to look impenetrable to those watching, but understand your God does not. You see, if God did not require Jesus to be impenetrable in this moment, then why would he require more of us? You see, Jesus was in deep despair, but that's not all he felt. And it's not all we should feel as well. Take a look at this. Luke 22:42, we see Jesus, and he's not just carrying sorrow. Jesus cries out to God with these words, "Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me." Jesus is saying, "This hurts. I hate this story. Take it away, God, please." But then he says this, "Yet I want your will to be done, God, not mine." You see, Jesus' feelings included sorrow, deep sorrow, but they weren't exclusive to sorrow. You see, Jesus was sad and surrendered. Jesus was sad and surrendered. "Take it away, God. I hate this story." That's his sorrow. "Yet I want your will, not mine, God. God, do it your way." That is the spirit of surrender. Not only did Jesus carry sadness and surrender, but in a turn of events, Jesus also shows something completely different as well. You'll have to go and read it yourself, but a few moments later, after having the sadness and surrender, the soldiers come around Jesus. And in this moment, he stands defiantly, defiantly in bold belief of what God was still able to do. He said something to the effects of this, "Don't you know that my God is able right now to send 1,000 angels to rescue me right now?" You see, Jesus was sad and surrendered, but Jesus remained wholeheartedly submitted to what God wanted to do, all while remaining boldly believing in what God was still able to do. This last year, I've been learning to do the same. I've been learning to carry what feel like contradictory emotions, knowing that Jesus did. If he did it, I can do it too. I've been learning to come to God in my pain, to tell him the severity of my sorrow, how bad it hurts, and then simultaneously surrender to his plan. God, do it your way. God, you know what I want more than anything, but God, I want what you want from me more. God, I trust you despite these awful circumstances. I've also decided over this last year that I want God to find me believing that he can. I want God to find me believing that he can until my very last breath. I can't help but wonder what it would look like for us to be like Jesus, to keep declaring what God is still able to do, even when all seems lost and the soldiers are carrying me away. What would it look like? And for me, it looks like believing that God can get me pregnant, that he can keep me pregnant, and that he can do so even despite the things that the doctors and the test results tell me. To believe that he can, and to believe that even if he doesn't, it's not because my God wasn't able. It's because it wasn't part of his plan. And what's that plan, you ask, that God has for us? I wish I knew. But here's what I'm also learning is I know what it's not. The second thing I'm learning is that disappointment is not the destination. It's okay to be disappointed, but understand it's important to know that disappointment is not the destination. Romans 5:5 offers us this encouragement saying, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. What this verse is saying is this hope that we have in the Lord, that he is good and that he will keep working on our behalf, even when things feel wrong, will not lead to disappointment. This hope that he knows what he's doing and that the story he's writing for us is so much better than the one we would write for ourselves. This will not lead us to disappointment. But understand what this verse doesn't promise is that it may require us to walk through disappointment. I'm learning that it's important to know the difference. You see, as a child, I used to get wicked motion sickness. I have, in fact, vomited on sides of the street from England all the way to Washington State and a plethora of places in between. Bear with me. I promise I will land this plane and get us to where we need to be. I have had terrible motion sickness as a kid, and there is no one that has had to deal with this more than my grandmother. My grandmother, when I was a child, every few weeks she would come and pick me up in her 1990 Nissan Sentra. And she'd pick me up outside my little suburban town outside of Seattle. And she would journey with me to her house in rural Monroe. As we journeyed to her house, we would have to go around mountains and over rivers. We'd have to go through windy roads and uphills. And every single time, like clockwork, I would get violently ill 9 out of 10 times in the backseat of her car. Now, here's my question for you. Was my grandmother cruel, heartless? How could she say she loves me, right? And that she knows what she's doing when she was leading me to motion sickness and mountains? But she wasn't leading me to those things, right? She was leading me through them to get to her house. You see, motion sickness and mountains were not the final destination. Her house was. You see, the overwhelming journey had more to do with what she was leading me through than what she was leading me to. And the same is true of God. Psalm 23, David says this, even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I will not be afraid. Exodus 13, 18 says this of the Israelites, that God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness. You see, it's important to know the difference. You see, God is not leading us to disappointment, but he is leading us through disappointment. You see, God is not leading us to the dark valleys that we're currently in or the desolate places that take our breath away. He's leading us through our circumstances today, no matter how debilitating, are not the final destination. This is what I believe God is saying to you and to me. God is saying, I know you're disappointed. I know that today it doesn't feel worth it. I know that what you're walking through is scary and uncertain. I know that you worry if I know what I'm doing, or worse, that I led you astray. And you're right, this is hard, excruciating and confusing at times, almost beyond your ability to endure. But know that not a single tear or sorrow of yours has ever escaped me. I see your scars. I see you sweating blood. I see you puking on the side of the street. But don't be mistaken. I've never left your side, not for a moment. And I'm not leading you to this disappointment. I'm simply leading you through it. Through the darkest days of the last year and a half, I've felt God console me with those words. I'm not leading you to this. I'm simply leading you through this. God is leading us through depression. God is leading us through anxiety. God is leading us through uncertainty. God is leading us through our marital woes and our medical bills. He's leading us through infertility. He's leading us through a pandemic. And he'll continue to lead us through until we arrive where he always intended for us to be. I want to share this last verse as I close this morning. You see, Jesus carried sorrow and surrender and bold belief. And he wants us to do the same. And so today I want to give you something to believe in this morning. I need something to believe in, do you? You see, David, the man that once walked through dark valleys, he tells us this about where God was all along leading him to. And it's the same place that God is leading to us, no matter how cruel life has felt or how disappointed we may be. Psalm 73:23 says this, "Yet I still belong to you, God. Even after all this disappointment, even in all this heartache, yet I still belong to you, God. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny." Where is God leading you and I to something glorious? It's going to be good. More than that, it's going to be worth it. A weary friend, a frustrated follower, if you could breathe this truth in, let it awaken your faith. Let it restore your hope. You see, if you could know the end of the story, if you could see right now where God is leading you to, then you would not be displeased, far from it. You see, if we can muster up the courage to continue doing everything God asks you to do and to live out who he's called you to be, if you could muster up the courage to continue, if you could also keep coming to him in your sorrow, tell him how you feel, and then also remain simultaneously surrendered to his plan, then guess what? It will be glorious. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand, leading me to a glorious destiny. It will be glorious.
Thanks again for joining us today on the MetaChurch podcast. To connect further with us, find us on Instagram or visit us online.